Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence right now, Lord. It is because of your name that we come before you, and we're thankful. And we just pray right now, Lord, that as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts. And I pray that you would help us to understand what it means about your name and how we should honor your name. And Lord, how that should drive in our lives and how we glorify you in all things. So Lord, I pray for that. And I pray right now, if there's somebody sitting here that doesn't know who you are, they've never put their faith in you, I pray right now that you would start to open up their hearts and draw them towards you. I pray that they would see you and love you and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we just thank you for everything. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys are enjoying going through the Ten Commandments? Are you getting something out of it? I'm learning things every week about something I just never thought about, that's what I love about Scripture. I mean, I've been doing ministry now for 25 years, preaching for 14, and it's amazing to me that in this book I can find things that I'm always learning. There's always something new to learn. God is always teaching us and always bringing us along and helping us understand things. And it excites me. You know, and if I get excited about something, you know what happens, right? I hope you get excited about it, right? I mean, because a sermon always has to start with a pastor. If you don't know that, it's got to preach to the pastor first before it can preach to anybody else. If I don't get it, how are you going to get it, right? If I don't get excited about it, how can you get excited about it? If I got up here and said, this is the most boring thing I've ever done, how long would you guys stay here? You go find someone who's a little more exciting, right? But it's not like that. I love the discoveries of the Bible. And I keep finding new things. And the older I get, I can put things together in ways I never did before. And it's just like God just keeps teaching me and keeps teaching me. And that's one of the things, a sign of a mature Christian is being teachable. You know, being moldable and being able to learn and listening to what God is saying to us and remaining teachable. And we should always be learning. You've never learned it all. Did you know that? So if you think you got it all, you don't. And it's just to let you know, I'm letting you off the hook right now. And it's just easy that way. Have you ever had to name a child? How many of you have had to name a child? There's a child. You figured out who that is? Huh? Do you know who that is? Jacob? No. But you know, that you mentioned Jacob, 24 years ago today, we had to name him. He came into the world. Today's his 24th birthday. And, but think about all the name combinations that you thought about when you're naming a child. I mean, you think about it, you talk to friends or family. Maybe you had a name that you have always liked. You know, and that you just said, if I ever have a child, I'm going to name him this. But maybe it's family. Maybe you have family names that are passed down. But there's always names, right? And just think about all the work that goes into naming a child. Because think about it, that child is stuck with that name for the rest of their lives. Makes me think, how many of you like Johnny Cash? I got anybody out here? There you go. Look at that. That's great. A boy named Sue, right? I mean, you know, he gets named Sue because his dad was going to leave. And he said, you know, I knew you had to be rough and tough. So I gave you that name to put a little gravel in your gut, you know? And then at the end of the song, what does he say? He says, when I have a child, I'm going to name him Bill, Bob, anything but Sue, right? But the name, it became part of his identity, right, in the song. I mean, it made him tough because everybody made fun of his name. So you can see where a name, we kind of become our name, right? I'm named after my grandfather. And that one picture back, if you go back for me, that's me. That's me 51 years ago when I was a little guy. I've changed a little bit. It's a long time ago. But here's the theme that all human beings hold in common. We all hold this in common. We do not name ourselves. Did you ever think about that? We do not name ourselves. Our names are given. They're not chosen. Which shows that naming is an act of authority, right? Because if I'm dad and I'm the one, or wife and husband, we're the ones in authority, we pick the name, that's the name you're given. You don't have a choice about it, that's your name. Later on in life, you want to change it, but that's your birth name. You're stuck with it for the rest of your life. And this morning, we're looking at the third commandment, which simply says, do not misuse the name of our Lord, your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Human beings are named, but with God, no one's ever named him. No one has ever named God. People have given false names to God, but think about this. God's true name was revealed by God himself. He revealed his name. See, we do not tell God who he is. We don't tell him who he is. He tells us who he is. And I love that, right? God does not tell, he tells us. We don't tell him who he is. See, God alone owns his naming rights. Nobody can, he's got his own naming rights. There, it's all God. It belongs all to him. So what is in a name, biblically speaking, when we think about this? You know, a lot of times in today's world, where a name could be, you know, it can mean like, I think Stephen means like crowned one. I'm obviously not a crowned one. But in the Bible, what we see is names have meanings. It reflects something of their character and their nature. Like Moses. The name Moses means son or deliverer, or here's one, he's drawn out of. So if you know the story of Moses, he was drawn out of the Nile. So his name means drawn out one. And you think about the nature and character of his name, he was the one that helped draw out the people out of Israel. You just see all kinds out of Egypt into the promised land. You can see all these things about Moses and his name, how that developed through time. Abraham. Abraham means father of many. So it makes perfect sense that Abraham was the father of many. So a name in the Bible, it defines character and nature. The third commandment defends the honor of God's name. And we're going to talk about God's name. But it honors, it defends and honors his name. One thing we learn about quickly in the Old Testament is you read it, you will find out that God is very protective of his name. In fact, he cares more about protecting the glory of his name than he does anything else. Anytime the people of Israel start to do anything that profanes his name, he gets very upset. And when other nations come in and profane his name, he gets back. He comes back. His justice comes out. His wrath is poured out. He will not allow people or nations to profane his holy name. When we read this commandment, we see that God switches to the first person, and he's using in this the covenant name Yahweh. We see he's used the covenant name Yahweh, which we translate in our English Bibles, Lord. And if you know anything that about the Bible and how it was put together, it was translated into Greek at one time. And when they did that, they translated Yahweh to Lord, Kyrios, we see in the Greek. And see, we see that name in the New Testament, which was written in Greek. We see the word Kyrios used for Lord when it says Jesus is Lord. They're thinking Yahweh, that he's God. That's when he says that. So this name was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 3. And I love this part of the Bible. This is like one of those things. You know what? I remember reading this for the first time. It gave me goosebumps. Because, you know, if I was thinking about this, if I was God and I was going to name myself, you know, I'd have a really cool name. I would come up with something like really cool, like Thor, you know, or I don't know, thunder, I don't know. I would come up with something though that would just sound really cool and frightening and all these things, but God doesn't do that, you know. He tells Moses to go and tell the people, I'm going to set the people free. And remember, Moses says, well, whose name do I say that you came in? I mean, whose name, who are you? And he says this in verse 14, chapter 3, 14. God replies to Moses. I mean, just think about this for a moment. I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Or I just get goosebumps at that. I am. I mean, that's a cool name. I mean, that's way cooler than anything I could come up with. I am. God said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers and of Abraham and of Isaac, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is how you are to remember me in every generation. So what's the name there that's translated? I am. It's just four letters. You know, Hebrew doesn't have vowels, so it's just YHWH. And so it's just four letters is his name. And that's how it's translated. It's translated, I am who I am, or I will be who I'll be. Or I am. That's how we see it. And the Israelites learned this. This is the God who saves them. And remember, this is the God who demonstrated his power against all the Egyptian gods. This is the God that brought them out of Egypt. This is the God who provided for them in the desert. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there was probably up to 2 million, 1.5 to 2 million Israelites who left Egypt and went to the desert. Does anybody know like about logistics? As a military person, I think logistics. Do you know how much it would take to how to feed and give water and to all the things that they would need for 2 million people? That's a train that's 20 miles long every day of food and water. A train from here to Wheatland. Every day. Just to feed them and give them water. And God provided for that in the desert. They lived 40 years in the desert. Every day, God provided for them. And this is the God that they learned. And so God's identity being wrapped up that he redeemed them, he provides for them, he saved them. That's his name. God's identity and entire reputation is wrapped up in this name, Yahweh, or Lord that we translate. And the psalmist declared, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who is like our Lord? The psalmist, just think about it. Who's like our God? Who does those things? Nobody but Yahweh. God has made a name for himself in creation and saving people for his glory. So we are to honor his name. His name, he deserves to be honored in our lives. His name is to be lifted up and cherished in our lives. The literal translation of this verse, if you're to take it out of the Hebrew, it just says this. It says, you shall not lift up. It must not, you see in your Bibles, is really lift up. It's lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothingness. For nothingness. In vain or misuse is to lift his name up to nothingness. So think about that. So what would be lifting up? What does that mean? It means like raising your right hand in an oath. You know, I lift up. I lift it up. Or it could be something like to do falsely or insincerely. Like you don't really mean it. It's like half-hearted. So you use his name half-heartedly. And maybe in a way that doesn't honor him. In the Old Testament, we see mainly where this takes place. We see it in sorcery because they use the game. Remember somebody who's practicing sorcery? They're doing it for money, for their own gain, for whatever reason. So they're misusing God's name. They're lifting them up for their own profit. And we see the same thing in false prophecy. A lot of guys where false prophets were around and they would say all kinds of things. They'd lift up the name of the Lord to give them credibility, and yet it was a falsehood. And the other things we see is false oaths. Like you say, you know, God, get me through this, or whatever it is, to lift his name up and not do it falsely. So dishonoring God's name is a great sin because it takes away from God's greatness, his holiness, and his glory. And we are to honor his name. Jesus himself said, "Our Father in heaven, your name is to be honored as holy." Even Jesus, he said, we're to honor his name as holy. Jesus was upholding the moral law, the Ten Commandments, when he said that he's to honor name, not to take the Lord's name in vain, and the holiness of God's name. His name is to be worshipped and praised and honored. And that's the way we're properly supposed to lift it up. When we come in the church, we praise God. We lift up the name of Jesus and we praise his name. We honor him. Because by honoring God, or by honoring his name, just think about this. Make this connection. If you forget everything else I say here, make this connection. If I honor God's name, I honor God. If I honor God's name, I honor God. Because just think about it. If you start using his name properly and honoring his name, you're going to honor God himself. Because that's him. And I can't help but think about this. The psalmist in Psalm 66 that says, "Let the whole earth shout joyfully to God. Sing about the glory of his name and make his praises glorious." And we see that all through the Psalms, praise his name. And since we're to honor God's name, and what are some ways that we dishonor God's name? And one of the ways that we all know is we start turning God's name into a swear word, which is just, you know, our language is a big thing. And I struggle with this. I was in the military 22 years, a lot of curse words, a lot of them. And for a large part, I participated. And then I just stopped participating, which meant that I heard even more. Because if you're not swimming with them, you're listening to them a lot more. It's kind of funny. I never said anything really to anybody unless it, you know, like one time I can remember sitting in a Humvee with three other young guys, and every other word was like the F word. And after about 3-4 hours of this, I just said, you know, can you guys come up with some other adjective? Anything. Just anything. I'll take any other word. It's just driving me crazy, hearing the same word repeated over and over and over and over again. But anyways, think about this. Think this about people. People can't help but to use God's name as a swear word. You ever thought about that? Why, of all the words to use as swear words, why would they use the name of God? You know, it's funny because people who don't even believe in God at all, they use his name all over the place. Just think about it. You're thinking about it right now, how it's everywhere. It's in movies. It's in everywhere. Our families, you just go out and listen and you'll hear it. And I think it shows the existence of God. Because I think people who do that, it shows that God exists, and it shows our condition, that we're in open rebellion to God. That even deep down inside, we know there's a God and we're using his name in total rebellion. We're just in rebellion to him. And so we just use his name as a swear word. I mean, I can't think of any other reason why we would do that. It just kind of shows our condition and it shows us where we are with God. Because if you honor God, you couldn't do that. If you have God in your life, you wouldn't want to do that. But you can see somebody who's in open rebellion to God that's going to flow right from their lips. As Christians, we need to be deeply concerned about our language. Would you agree to that? Saying things like, now listen to this. I never thought about this, but because this is just part of our culture almost. Oh my God. OMG. Right? I mean, we use that just so flippantly. But is that a proper way of using God's name? Or about good Lord? I thought about that. That's just so casual. But how are we using it? I swear to God, if you don't clean your room, right? I mean, we've done it, right? We've all done that. But is that a proper way of using God's name? I don't know. I think it might be lifting God's name up falsely. You know, not being sincere, not being honest in that. You know, are we honoring his name when we do that? Or maybe you're just one of those people that like to swear politely. Fudge butter. Whatever. Right? Just think of all the names that we use. But the problem is, people know you're swearing. You're just trying to find another word for it. You know? Heck. What the heck? That's one of my words I get stuck on. But it's not a good word to use. Everybody knows what you're substituting it for. This is one of those sermons that pointed back at me, if you haven't realized that yet. We need to be careful on how we choose our words, because we don't want to dishonor God. We don't want to dishonor his name. I hope this just starts stirring in you how you use God's name in everyday life. Another area that we misuse God's name is in false claims. In false claims. The third commandment is broken when we use God's name to advance our own agenda. You know anybody with their own agenda? Ever worked with somebody with their own agenda? Been around those people? Have you ever been that person? Because I've worked around them and I've been that person. But we use the name of God to manipulate others to get what we want or to convince them to think in a certain way. We say, you might have heard something like this. God told me to do this. I've heard people explain to me, God told them to divorce their wife. I know that's not true. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. The Lord told me to do this, or told me to tell you this. How many of you had somebody say that to you? The Lord told me to tell you this. You should get nervous at that. Understand, the Holy Spirit does direct us, and I'm not saying that this can't happen. But here's what I'm saying. It's not going to contradict Scripture, first of all. It will not contradict Scripture. If someone tells you that God told me to tell you this, first of all, you have to bump it up against Scripture. Does it? And this is another thing. When we say these things and when people say these things to us, we have to understand something about ourselves and our own condition. We want authority. We want authority. We want to be able to dictate what happens. We want to dictate what others think and do. We naturally want to do that. We want to be our own gods. You say, that's crazy. Well, listen, what's the number one movies playing in theaters right now? Superhero movies. Demigods. People who control things. They got magical powers. Harry Potter. Harry Potter's huge. There's a whole culture, subculture, that's just, they worship Harry Potter. They read his books as scripture. And you think that's far-fetched, that's happening. But why is that? Because they're longing for power in their lives. They want to be able to manipulate things and to make things happen. And there's this desire for the supernatural. That comes out. So we have to be careful. We have to know that about ourselves. So we want to learn how to discern God's voice. Is God truly speaking to you? Is he telling you to do this? And one of those things that we got to learn to do is be around other believers, because other believers are going to probably confirm what God is saying to you. This is my own experience. I feel like God is putting something on my heart, I don't say anything. I start listening to other people around me. Because what happens, and it's happened many times in this church, and Don can attest to it and other people in the leadership, I sense something, and then all of a sudden somebody else will say something to me that's the same thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're thinking the same thing. And then all of a sudden a third person will come along and they'll verify it. Then all of a sudden now I start thinking, this is God working. And you got to start listening now, right? And it's about having being around other discerning believers, and you're listening to what God is saying as a group. He's speaking to a group. He's not going to usually speak to one person. He's going to speak to all of us. That's why it's so important for us to be in the church and fellowship and under biblical authority, submitted to biblical authority, under biblical leadership, because that's how it's supposed to function, and that's how we verify what God is speaking to us and what he's doing. Our ramp out there is a great example of this, because I never thought that ramp would happen. There was an old ramp out there. Some of you don't even know what it was. It was so old. There was a guy named Walt who died, and he hated the ramp so much he left $1,500 to get rid of it. That's no lie. And then other people started to die, and they started leaving money to it to get rid of the ramp. And then it just started growing. And then before I knew it, we had $15,000, and I said, I guess we got to look at replacing the ramp. Right? But God was speaking to a whole bunch of people about giving money to that ramp. Wasn't speaking to me, but it was happening. And then we got a contractor, and the contractor said, it's going to cost $30,000. And I said, we're not going to raise $30,000. There's no way. God started speaking to other people's hearts, and guess what? We had $30,000. So I said, wow, we got to get everybody together. We need to get a contractor. We got a contractor. And you know what they said? Three of them. They said it's going to be $80,000. You know what I said? That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. We'll never raise that money. And you know what happened? We paid cash for that ramp out there, $80,000. But that was God speaking to a whole bunch of people. And God was moving, and that's how I see God working. And I look for where God is working in something, and I join it. I don't really like say, this is what God is saying to me. I just kind of go, what's God saying to the crowd? What is God saying to the people? So we want to make sure that being in God's will is that we're listening to what God has to say. Now, I'm not saying that God won't direct you in something. And your purpose. Nancy was asking this morning, what's my purpose? She knows her purpose. She's already taking care of people, but she's asking the question. But she's got people around her that she cares for and she's taking care of. And I would say, that's your purpose. It's been your purpose. God's been speaking to that for years, right? Exactly. We're all looking for like some supernatural purpose, but I'm telling you, if you're here in a group of believers, God's purpose is going to start to shine through to you. And you're going to start seeing it. You're going to start doing it. Amen? All right. That's a whole nother sermon all by itself right there. Another way that we misuse agenda, ways that we misuse God's name is that we start using it to advance agendas. We say, like, God bless you and not mean it. How many of you have said God bless you to somebody and you don't mean it at all? That you're just trying to end the conversation and God bless you. You know, and you're just on your way. I think about that when I watch political conventions. They all say God bless you, but you know they're not saying God bless you to the other party. Right? We hope you die and get buried somewhere. That's what they're thinking. But they're saying God bless you to my people, to my party. You know, another thing is like, I never thought of this, but think about this, how we use God as a slogan or as a bumper sticker. We put God's name on a bumper sticker. Or using his name as a cliche. I never thought about that. It hit me this week, though. I mean, we just throw his name out on everything. Is that a proper way of doing it? I'm not condemning if you've got one. Bumper sticker, I'm not saying nothing, I'm just saying, should get you thinking. It might be extreme, maybe you're thinking that, that's kind of crazy, Pastor, but how far can we go in honoring God's name? I mean, how far is far enough? Should we honor his name in everything that we do? Think about that for a moment. It is by the name of God that we confess our sins, We give thanks. We receive salvation. I mean, all of you have put their faith in Christ, all of you who have. Just think about it. It is a God who saved you. He brought you out of something, out of slavery, of the sin. And we're to give thanks and praise his name. Jesus is the name above all names, the Bible tells us. The name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. See, I never thought about this until this week, but the name above every name is not Jesus. It's Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's what you're going to confess. The name above all names is Lord. Lord. Yahweh. God. That's his name. Jesus was given this name, Jesus at incarnation, but Jesus, is his exalted name is Lord. You're going to call him Lord. When you see him, you're not going to go, Jesus. You're going to say, Lord. Lord. Because it demonstrates his deity and it defines him as being the sovereign God. Listen to Isaiah 45, 21 through 24. It says, who predicted this long ago? Who announced it from ancient times? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is no one except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. Truth has gone out from my mouth, a word that will not be revoked. Every knee will bow to me. Every tongue will swear allegiance. It will be said about me, righteousness and strength are found only in the Lord. Jesus is Lord. It is by Jesus that we come to God. There's no one can come to the Father but through me. It is through Jesus Christ that we come to the Lord. He is the Lord. It is by Jesus that we enter. And when we see him, he will be Lord. Lord. We're to honor the Lord. And we're not to misuse his name in any way, because we don't want to take away from his glory. And so I'll just read the third commandment one more time. Do not misuse the name of our Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. And so this morning, I just pray. Let's pray right now. Let's do it that way. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now that you just come into our hearts, and right now that you'd start burning up in our hearts, Lord, your name and the holiness of your name and how great and mighty your name is and how worthy it is, Lord. And I pray right now that as we examine our lives and the way that we use your name, that you would just bring to our attention all the misuses. And Lord, I pray that you start to convict us of that and that we would honor your name, because by honoring your name, Lord, we worship you properly and we acknowledge who you are. We're keeping the commandments, Lord. We're keeping the moral law, because you alone are worthy of our worship. You alone are worthy of glory and of worship. So help us to do that properly, Lord. I pray that you just scrub our lives of misusing your name, and that our lives would reflect it. We would honor you and give glory to you in everything that we do. And so this morning, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. It is by the name of Jesus we will all confess Jesus is Lord. We'll honor your name for eternity and in our lives now. And I pray, Lord, if there's somebody sitting here that's never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray this morning would be a day of salvation. Today, you would move in their hearts and they would put their faith in you. And I pray, Lord, for any of us, everyone else that's here has put their faith in Christ, I pray that you would renew a right spirit us now, Lord, that we would repent of our sins, we would turn to you, and we would trust you with our lives. Even right now, Lord. Please, right now. Change our lives, Lord. Let us not walk out these doors the same way we walked in. And again, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.